every Tuesday we get together and we hop on the 7 line, cruise down Morton Street into the Fernandez Plaza. City Hall awaits. We knock on the door of the mayor's office, and there is Mayor Hamilton this week. Hey, good to have you back. How are you?
Mike, nice to be with you again. I'm well, thank you, on this lovely day.
Back in Bloomington, we're keeping an eye on the skies. We're keeping an eye on the one-way streets. It's a very, very busy time of year with school getting started, with everybody moving back in. Well, there's no off-season, is there? We're ready for anything at the city level, correct?
It's just like getting ready for the game next week, whatever it is. There's always something to get ready for. Yeah,
and we just tune in, and again, we'll just remind people the pictures are floating throughout the internet of people traveling the wrong way on one-way street. It's nothing new. We can handle this. Just have your head on a swivel. That's all we asked. Great to have you with us today, and we're busy as always. Why? Well, the list is long and long, and it keeps on moving and moving. And you've had some staff changes move and groove as well. And you've got a new director of economic development. Tell me all about who is in that position. And I had a chance to meet Crystal last week. She did a great job pinch hitting for you. We had fun with her. That was nice. So some new faces in some new places in city government.
Yeah, that kind of happens. We had a director of economic sustainable development, Alex Crowley, for 7-plus years, and he moved on actually to run the Indiana Green Bank, so kind of a statewide investment vehicle for sustainability and electrification, all that stuff. And Holly Warren, who's been our arts director for several years here, is going to be the interim economic development director. She's been on staff, and she's kind of the most senior person there, and will be helping make sure that great group of folks continues to work on our arts, on our sustainability, and on our small business development. So it's a, you know, it's kind of a natural evolution.
And let me sausage made question. I don't know how this stuff works. What are these folks? Do they work at the pleasure of the mayor? Is this a normal thing that happens at an end of a tenure like this, where people might not be around for the next mayorship, for lack of a better word?
You do have some natural change, Mike, over an administration. Partly people are, it's kind of a natural time to leave. We've worked together closely. They know I'm leaving in December 31st, and so you do get some cabinet folks, cabinet-level folks who leave. And they do generally work at the pleasure of the mayor. There are some boards that oversee some of the entities, like utilities or housing and transit and such. But so it's not unexpected. When I started in 2016, over the first couple few months, there were probably half of the cabinet were new compared to, say, a year before or something like that. And it's, you know, it's natural. It's good. We have amazing leaders across the city, and I'll be working with the incoming mayor to talk about who they are and what they're doing and getting everybody up to speed so we have a smooth transition. But in the meantime, we do have sometimes some acting heads of offices or departments who carry forward for the next few months.
Busy, busy times. It's always busy. That's what makes it fun. Now, the City of Bloomington Community and Family Resources Department, the Safe and Civil City Director, Shatoya Moss, she had a very nice honor bestowed upon her here recently with being a part of the Obama Foundation Leaders USA program. How has that been beneficial for us here in Bloomington?
Oh, listen, Shatoya is a hero. She's terrific, part of our community, and it's really a distinction and a real honor that she was chosen nationally among 100 emerging change leaders to be part of the Obama Foundation Leaders USA program. So it's a 6-month program that's going to bring those folks together. It's actually not just the U.S. It's international, I guess, and it's a wonderful testament to Shatoya herself and to the Community and Family Resource Department, and I think she's going to probably pick up some ideas, share some ideas, grow in capacities and vision perhaps. And so it's a really good thing for Bloomington, and a bunch of people around the world will hear about Bloomington through Shatoya too. So that's good.
Even better, even better. We got a new park dedicated on the well, I guess it would be the southeast side of town. The former the goat park. It's no longer the goat park.
That's right. Used to be the goat farm.
There you go.
Which kind of had a temporary feel anyway, didn't it? You know, but we had a wonderful ceremony last Friday. It's now called the Rogers Family Park. It reflects, it really originally came from the Rogers family that while it was still named the Goat Farm, but it's about 20 some plus acres, I think, maybe 30, that are right there on the southeast side of town, below where High Street kind of stops on the south end. And it's just a spectacular. It's been upgraded with trails, art piece, parking spaces, other amenities, covered space, shade space. The barn has been stabilized. It's a beautiful place to be. It's got 5 acres going to 10 acres of natural prairie, kind of original native plants, really beautiful home for not just people, but wild things too.
Wild in the city and wild in the parks in the city.
Now, you know, and the day before that, it was a good, I cut a ribbon on the scatter garden in the
cemetery.
Yes,
at Rose Hill Cemetery.
Rose Hill,
didn't know that was a thing, and I've been obviously talking to folks when you were gone. I didn't know that was a new thing to do, and, well, Bloomington on the cutting edge of, well, cutting ribbons and having the scatter garden. So is that available to anybody? Do you pay? How does that work?
It is available. One of the things that first, a scatter garden is a place where you can deposit cremains after cremation of a body of a lost one, a loved one that you've lost. And it's a way, sometimes people put them in urns and they can put them in columbariums at a physical building or others. But this is lets you just scatter the cremains into the earth, as it were. It's a designated area, and you memorialize it with a name or a stone or different things. And one thing I really like about it is Rose Hill, this great, beautiful, historic cemetery. You can't get a grave plot there anymore, and it's basically filled up. But this will let at least 200 people access. Any people who want to have the memorial site there can access it. It costs, I think I saw $300 to deposit and another couple hundred or 300 for a memorial naming and such. But look, compared to burials, that's a good price. And I think it's a neat way for people in our community to be part of that very historic 200-year-old cemetery that we otherwise couldn't.
Well, you can't. There's not any land to do that
right
over there. So,
right.
How long has Rose Hill been? 18 what?
Yeah, it was really 1818, I think.
Okay.
It was founded. It didn't become city property till after the Civil War, I think. But we've been taking care of it since then, and it's full up. But this is a way to make more space. And actually, if 200 people use it, it can make room for more with more stones, and you can dedicate a tree or a bench or different things. Anyway, I recommend seeing it. It's in the old site of the fountain, which used to be there, which then got moved to the Third Street Park. But that site is now the center place for the scatter garden. It's a lovely, lovely location.
Oh, a busy week last week with I sound like a broken record, but it's true. There's just not. We don't go 2 or 3 weeks with nothing happening here. Who's breaking in and stealing hot dogs at Bryan Park? I asked
you. Tell me.
Well,
that's what I want to know.
I asked Larry Allen last week when we spoke to the deputy mayor on Thursday. Well, because he's like you, he has a background in the law, and I said, well, you know, can we throw the whole book at who steals from a local park? Who does that? But we get this. I assume no one has been caught yet because that should be front page news. But
a day in the life of Bloomington. It is frustrating and, you know, disappointing. But we'll try to figure it out who did it, and carry on. But the parks carry on, the pools carry on, and we will get through this. Be assured of that.
We will. Drool in the Pool was last week over at Mills Pool, so we know they are done for the season. This weekend next weekend will be the only time weekend starting. I don't know when exactly. That's after this week. So next weekend we will have no. I'm wrong. This weekend is only weekends from here forward at Bryan Park Pool. Saturday and Sunday only, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Well, if I could screw that up a little bit,
that's helpful. And just reminding people once the school districts here open back up, it really changes the uses of the pool. So we kind of find it efficient to go to weekends only, and hope people can enjoy it then. We'll wish for good weather on the weekend, right?
That's exactly right, and it's going to be warm this weekend, 87 both Saturday and Sunday.
There we go.
Great chance to get out and enjoy the pools and enjoy the farmers market and enjoy all the great things that are going on. But there is governmental stuff that we need to get to, as we always do. Council meets tomorrow. Are they going to vote on trash tomorrow? I thought we did that last week. Is they pushed that back 1 week? Okay. It's a little convoluted, but it's not. It's just the price of everything is going up. It's just, do we want it now or do we want it later? Well, is there a right way to do this?
Well, so some of this reflects regular cost of doing business, but there's actually kind of an underlying policy question that the council is wrestling with as well. The question is, so we do sanitation, trash, and recycling pickup for the houses, the 1 to 4 unit houses of the city. We don't do anything for the larger units, 5 and above apartment buildings. We don't pick those up. And the philosophical question is, well, should all the people of Bloomington, including all those living in apartments and others, should they pay for the help subsidize the pickup of trash, or should each system kind of operate on its own? So that's a debate the council is having. We're recommending a transition away from what you would call general fund or general tax subsidy of the sanitation system toward a more kind of pay-as-you-throw and that. But the council's debating it. They've had a little trouble getting to a vote. We hope they get that tomorrow, because we have to get our budget put together for 2024, and it depends on what they let us do.
That budget, the official budget process starts when, so people have an idea when to follow along?
So the week of hearing, 4 nights in a row, start on Monday, August 28th, so 3-plus weeks away or so.
Gotcha.
Not quite 3 weeks away. And it will be publicized a few days before that in the paper. But that's the main start, and then it'll get voted on in September.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He joins us Tuesdays after 4:05 from City Hall. And as we move along on the government side of things, we know the county has appointed their CIB folks. When is the city in line to do that? And I know you've got a nomination or two that you have to provide.
We do. Under the county's Capital Improvement Board, CIB ordinance, they gave themselves 3 votes, nominations for putting people on that, and they gave the city 3, 2 from the mayor and 1 from the city council. Those 6 people are supposed to pick a 7th among them. I'm in discussions with city council folks about that. I think it'll happen in the next few weeks. The key, we need an interlocal as well to not just create that board, but to define what they're going to do and how they do it and who they get money from and all that stuff, which is kind of a lot of nitty-gritty stuff, but that you don't really want to have a board without having some rules about how they're going to operate and where they're going to get funding and support and all that stuff. So we're still working on that. We've got negotiations going on, so hopefully one day soon we'll be able to tell you a plan.
It sounds good. Now, you have an online application process for people who want to join. How long does that stay open?
Well, the city council has posted a position, and I don't know what their vacancy, what their timeline is exactly on that. We just welcome people contacting my office anytime if they want to be on it. Just call us or send us an email or anything like that. Now, truth be told, these are key roles, and we often recruit people for them and say, you know, would you do it? Sometimes people don't know they want to do it, and we have to talk them into doing it. You know, it's not an easy job.
No, it's not an easy job, and that's part of it. Why? Well, we know there's the money that's already there. That's the good news. Now it's putting this project together. So while we wait on that development, Diane Daly had a news headline either yesterday or late last week talking about the Trades District and a possible hotel going in and activity happening there. Which commission is in charge of making sure that happens?
Well, you know, it is encouraging. We continue to see a lot of investment in Bloomington, and the private sector continues to want to be part of our future, which is good. And this is I think it's about 150 key hotel, as they call it, 150 rooms. It's looking to put a kind of boutique place there at the Trades District, right next to the new federally sponsored and locally supported second building that's going to go kitty corner to the mill. And we got, of course, the kiln going and the admin building being redeveloped, which someday soon I hope you get to walk in there and see that thing. So it's a private group. We're selling them the land. We've got plan commission. We'll be working with them on that. But ultimately, the RDC owns the land and will sell it to them. So there's several public bodies that have to get involved before that can get completely done. But it's very encouraging, and we're excited to see the prospects of continued investment there.
Now, is that the John Fernandez part of it?
Yes, John Fernandez and Pat East are kind of continuing to try to activate the Trades District with all of those projects and more.
Well, that's what it sounds like, and more stuff going on. And you were also busy earlier. It's already Tuesday. What do you mean earlier this week? You've been busy this week. New firefighters have been sworn in. Tell me how many, and where do we stand now within our fire protection services at the city level?
You know, one of the favorite things I get to do is those kind of swearing-in events. Today I swore in 6 new firefighters with family and friends around and taking the oath to protect all of us and give their best devotion and abilities and integrity to that work. They're part of a class of a little over 20 new firefighters that we've brought in, and they kind of go into service depending upon their background. Like if you've already been a firefighter somewhere else, you can get right into a firehouse in a truck. The folks I swore in today were experienced firefighters, but they needed EMT credentials, so they were part of that. And then there's a group of about, I don't know, 15 red-shirted folks in the back who are getting their firefighter training as we speak every day, and they'll be coming forward in the next couple months, I think. So, but in the next over the next past month or two, in the next 3 or 4 months, we're going to be bringing in about 20 new firefighters. That'll help us really get back up to about full speed with all of our firefighters. But we continue to recruit, and we always welcome new folks looking at us. They serve us out of five different firehouses. They do 24-hour shifts and then 48 hours off. And so a lot of these folks' rhythm is going to change a little bit when they start that service.
Swearing in firefighters, swearing in deputy mayors. You've been swearing a lot lately. You can't swear on the air, though. You can't do that here on WGCL. But another project that we learned about yesterday was the city talking about micro-mobility vehicles and the accessibility and safety. Well, I'll let you explain exactly what is going on.
Well, this kind of continues the really the evolution of new ways people get around, scooters in particular, and other e-bikes that are being brought to our city, frankly, by investors and companies that want to help people get around. And you know, Mike, when I came into office, we didn't have any of these. It just started over the last few years, and they've become very popular. I think I've told you, I think we've had over a million rides taken on these things in our community. And one of the things we're doing, and we announced this week, is the installation of what you'd call corrals or kind of parking areas, particularly in the downtown area. So we have a better control over where they get parked, where they leave and where they start from. And we're kind of learning as we go. We're setting up 50 of those in the downtown area that will be a designated place for these these e-scooters and e-bikes to come from. The companies geofence their vehicles so that they have to be parked there, and we hope it'll help kind of reduce some of the clutter, improve some of the performance of this, and we kind of, again, it's an evolution. We're going to keep seeing how it goes.
Yeah, you can see them on Walnut Street. As I can see one from outside of my window on 7th and Walnut. Is this being paid for by these scooter companies, or how does, or
yes,
is that part of their fee that they negotiate with the city? Tell me how that works.
Yes, so these companies all pay an annual fee to us to operate in the city, and then they pay a per ride, a little slice of their per ride fee as well, that goes to the city that we use to help pay for enforcement. We help pay for this kind of infrastructure improvement. My view of that is we're not trying to make money off of these, because we think they do offer a service to our people. We just want to make sure that we cover our costs, if you will, that the city in the work, extra work we have to do to make sure that they're being operated appropriately and used appropriately and setting up these corrals, that we cover those costs.
Well, that's interesting. I know the city's job is not to make money, but you've had to bend over sideways, backwards, and all other directions for, what, 4 or 5 years now. What is it, just a philosophical angle? Why not take profit from these companies who are making you and me and everybody else jump through all these hoops, it feels like?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I mean, I'm not saying that in the future that we might have made a little marginal money on these, or that we might make marginal money on these. You know, some cities try to make a bunch of money off of traffic medallions for taxis, right? Taxi medallions and liquor permits, and that we don't get the liquor permit money. But generally, our view of this is these are helping our city in general, because they're giving people more options to travel. We want to welcome these companies in. We don't want to be extortionate, but we do also want to cover our costs.
Well, I think that's important.
You know, it's a rough estimate, right? But we're getting, probably six figures total if you look from these folks to help pay for these things. And look, if down the road it becomes super competitive and they're making lots of money in the trips that they do, and we can get a little slice of that, that'd be fine. That would help the taxpayers cover other things, too.
Yeah, then we'll build a dome over the city and have these things go 12 months of the year instead of running silent, running deep in December, January, February. Well, somebody will take one at some point. Mayor Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. I want to make sure I've got everything off my... What's a big list today? We've had 100 things to get to, but I know you wanted to talk about some art projects you had a chance to run into last weekend.
You know, it was fun. I came down to the farmer's market. It was a lovely day, and I forgot, but there was a group that got postponed from some of the awful July Saturday storms, and about 30 young folks from middle school, high school, around those ages, were doing their art. They had developed art to sell, and there were, I don't know, more than 1,000 people came through. Some of the kids were so I came through relatively late, and they had sold out some of their wares. They were knitters and painters and jewelry makers and other kind of, and lemonade sellers and all. Anyway, it was really fun see 30-plus young people there in the middle of the Fernandez Plaza, filling up Fernandez Plaza at the farmer's market. So come on down every Saturday. It's still going through November.
And that will be busy, busy. I learned my lesson at the farmer's market. I was down there, not last Saturday, but the Saturday before that, and I was sans cash. Folks, take
some
your cash.
Some of them need cash.
That's
some of
right.
them need cash. And you know, you and I have talked about this November, we're actually moving, the farmers market is going to join in November, right down at Switchyard for all but the Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, that's a great opportunity. Switchyard never rests. There's always a million things going on down there, including Food Truck Friday this Friday. You have music and concerts, all kinds of things, and then you're gonna have a bunch of folks. Joel, 45,000 or so of our closest friends are heading in this direction. I've got a homework assignment for you for next time, because I knew I always tell you I'll miss something, right? And I'll always figure
I'm
it
ready.
Out at the end.
What are we doing?
The citywide survey results are in, and I don't want to cram that in the last 30 seconds here. I know you're busy today, so we will put that on our list of things to do next Tuesday.
Let's do it. It's every 2 years, and we'll look at it and see what we learned. And I hope everybody has a good week, Mike. It's always good to be with you.